Welcome back. Thanks again for tuning into Spoonful of Sugar. Today's episode is going to cover another topic relevant for the psychiatric sections of the USMLE and the Comlex. This episode was actually made by myself, so I'll just let the intro play out as normal. Please enjoy. Hello, future doctors. Welcome back to Spoonful of Sugar, the podcast made for and by medical students, where we break down complex medical topics into bite-sized pieces for your success. I'm your host, Bilal Rana, a third year at Western U, and today we are diving deep into a notoriously tricky topic for the STEP and Comlex, the schizophrenia spectrum. So this episode is going to demand a brief overview. Tackling schizophrenia questions is less about distinct facts and more about understanding the clinical picture. What makes these questions difficult is that the symptoms of schizophrenia have moderate overlap with other psychiatric diagnoses, such as mood or personality disorders. Sure enough, examiners will provide these diagnoses as differentials on a multiple choice. So if you wish, I recommend listening to our episodes on mood and personality disorders before tackling this one. Additionally, my episode on mood disorder pharmacology, specifically part 2, discusses antipsychotics, which are relevant for today's topic. So if you're interested in learning about the treatments, I would refer you to that episode. The goal for this episode is to provide you the skills to be able to confidently distinguish schizophrenia from other diagnoses. Hopefully, the questions at the end help tie things together. Don't worry if you don't understand it the first go around. Like most things in medicine, repetition is required and frustration is inevitable. But together, we can get through this. Let's begin by talking about schizophrenia. First, how would you define schizophrenia? Very briefly, schizophrenia is a disorder of psychosis. Fundamentally, that's what it's about. And the symptoms of schizophrenia are going to be divided into positive and negative symptoms. So, can you think of some positive symptoms associated with schizophrenia? So, a few would be hallucinations, delusions, in addition to disorganized speech and or behavior. You don't necessarily need to have all of these, but some of these will be present. So how would you define a hallucination? So a hallucination would be a sensation without an external stimuli. What about a delusion? So delusions are beliefs that don't align with reality. They're false beliefs, specifically. And what about disorganized speech or behavior? That's exactly what it sounds like, disorganized speech and behavior. Didn't want to trick you there. Now let's look at the other side. What are some of the negative symptoms of schizophrenia? Some of the high-yield negative symptoms you're going to want to know: avolition, flat affect, alogia, and a disheveled appearance. You can kind of remember these as the four A's: avolition, affect, alogia, appearance. Now, what does avolition mean? So I like to break down the words by their etymology. A is Greek for without, and then we have volition, which refers to an exercise of will. That sounds very fancy, but if we were to kind of put it together, avolition is a lack of goal-directed behavior. That's the key definition you're going to want to know. Then we have flat affect. Now, we've talked about this in episodes prior, so I won't dive too deeply into it, but it's exactly what it sounds like. Affect is the outward expression of emotion, and flat affect essentially means you're outwardly expressing nothing, pretty much. And then what about alogia? So alogia, A meaning without, logos referring to words or speech, and so alogia meaning you speak less words. And then the last part is the disheveled appearance, essentially when somebody is untidy or unkept. Now what I'm about to say is more of my opinion, but I like to think that other med students also have this trouble. The negative symptoms are easier to distinguish than the positive symptoms. The only problem is some of the negative symptoms can be confused with Siggy Caps, depression, whereas the positive symptoms can be confused for mania, dig fast. By way of review, real quickly, dig fast is distractibility, impulsivity, grandiosity, flight of ideas, activity increase, sleep decrease, and talkativeness. And then on the flip side, we have depression. So those would be sleep increases, interest decrease, guilt increase, energy decrease, concentration decreasing, appetite decreasing, psychomotor agitation or psychomotor retardation can be either or, and suicidal ideation. Now, for the purposes of board examinations, knowing the timelines for psychiatric disorders is extremely important. So for schizophrenia, what are the important timelines that you're going to want to know? So you're going to want to know the 1 month mark and the 6 month mark. So if we're seeing schizophrenia symptoms that are lasting for less than a month, what would we call that? Brief psychotic disorder. How about in between 1 to 6 months? Schizophreniform. And then anything 6 months or greater would be schizophrenia. So the next part of this episode is going to concern differentials. If it's difficult, it is completely understandable. Again, this is one of the trickier portions of the psychiatric sections of the exams. So please feel free to rewatch, relearn, go over it, because it's going to be a lot of information. So moving right along, the first differential I want to talk about is delusional disorder. How do I know if a patient has delusions or schizophrenia? What's the difference? So the key difference is functioning. If the patient has only delusions, then it's delusional disorder. However, if there are also other positive or negative symptoms, impairments of functioning, such as somebody who has, you know, no more friends, fired from work, not fulfilling their basic life obligations, you might want to lead more towards the direction of schizophrenia. And again, just to make this clear, in the setting of delusional disorder, you will not see impairments of functioning. This next note I want to make is a little bit on the lower yield side, but I figured I'd just make it anyway for completeness sake. Since board examiners sometimes like to make these questions needlessly complicated, in my opinion, they may not hint at life functioning, and they may just have you distinguish between delusional disorder and schizophrenia by just looking at the delusions themselves. This is highly unlikely, but I'd pay attention to what I'm about to say, as this will help you for some of the higher yield questions even, and it might make them seem easier. So the delusions in schizophrenia are bizarre. Now, that sounds like a cop-out, like a lot of delusions sound bizarre, but when I say bizarre, I'm referring to those delusions that are unlikely to happen in reality. So compare the two delusions and tell me which one sounds bizarre. Here's the first one. My neighbor is plotting to kill me. Here's the second one. Jupiter is calling me to begin my reign as the apocalyptic prophet for the end of times. In case that wasn't obvious enough, the second one about Jupiter is the bizarre one. Those types of delusions are not going to be seen in delusional disorder. So the next thing I want to talk about are hallucinations. And when we think of hallucinations, one of the first things that often gets associated with it are drug use. So drug use and schizophrenia can both cause hallucinations. But if the hallucinations in the question stem can be directly attributed to the drug use, then we are not diagnosing schizophrenia. Why is that? It is because schizophrenia is a diagnosis that is given in the absence of other conditions. In this case, the absence of drugs. So by that same note, you can have symptoms of schizophrenia secondary to delirium, strokes, dementia. Would we diagnose schizophrenia in those cases? No, the hell we ain't. Same situation. It doesn't count. Schizophrenia is diagnosed in the absence of other causes. So the main point, if there is a clear root cause for the symptoms in the question stem, then we care about the root cause being the answer, not schizophrenia. This will make more sense with the practice questions we'll be seeing later in this episode. Okay, now let's talk about schizoaffective disorder. Arguably, this is the most confusing of the bunch. And oftentimes the negative symptoms, kind of as I mentioned earlier, They're a lot easier to distinguish from sticky caps than the positive ones, which can be confused with DigFast. And the thing about DigFast is that it's seen in both bipolar 1 and bipolar 2, but the really confusing one will be bipolar 1, because bipolar 1 has psychotic features. And remember that schizophrenia is a diagnosis of psychosis, you can see where this gets pretty complicated. So knowing this, and I'll give you a few questions to really think about it, how would we distinguish bipolar type 1 disorder that has psychotic features as opposed to schizoaffective disorder? What would we do? What would we look at? Okay, so the key difference is the timing. If the psychotic symptoms occur during a manic episode, and only during a manic episode, then we would diagnose bipolar type 1 with psychotic features. However, if the psychotic symptoms occur outside of a manic episode, you are more likely looking at schizoaffective disorder. So kind of as the name suggests, schizoaffective is a combination of schizophrenia and an affective, aka a mood disorder. In plain English, we could summarize it like this. A patient with schizoaffective disorder at baseline has either positive or negative symptoms of schizophrenia. It just so happens that the moment you saw this patient, they were having a manic episode. So on a question stem, it may say something like this. Oh, this patient is experiencing flight of ideas, talkativeness, blah, 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 for 2 days. On further questioning, the patient's mom states that for the past 3 weeks, her son would try to summon Cthulhu in their backyard. So you can see in this makeshift question that there is a clear separation between the baseline schizophrenia versus the superimposed mania. Again, this will make more sense with the practice questions we have ahead. Now let's look at how schizophrenia can be confused with some of the negative symptoms. Schizoaffective disorder in particular can sometimes be confused with major depressive disorder combined with psychotic features. Again, the question you have to ask yourself is, are they depressed all the time, aka they have Sigi Caps features at a baseline, and then sometimes they get a superimposed psychosis, so that would be major depressive disorder with psychotic features, or are they exhibiting symptoms of schizophrenia at a baseline, and then occasionally have a superimposed depressed state? Now that would be schizoaffective disorder. And again, when I'm saying schizoaffective disorder, this could also mean mania as well. It goes both ways. The word affective simply refers to a mood disorder. So schizoaffective disorder, by and large, can refer to depressive symptoms as well as manic symptoms. All right, so I mentioned major depressive disorder with psychotic features. Now, what does that actually look like? So it might not be what you think it is. Major depressive disorder with psychotic features is characterized by dark themes. And when I say dark themes, I'm typically referring to things like worthlessness, the feeling of deserving punishment, etc. Okay, and the last set of distinctions I want to make is, how is schizophrenia different than certain personality disorders, such as paranoid, schizoid, and schizotypal? What would be the difference in these ones? So earlier I talked about how delusional disorder is different from schizophrenia because of functional deficits. And when it comes to personality disorders, the functional deficits are going to be really important, in that schizophrenia has noticeably more. So when we think about somebody with paranoid personality disorder, what are we thinking of? So we're thinking of somebody who is exhibiting pure distrust and suspicion of other people. Functionally, otherwise, they're doing all right. What about somebody who is a schizoid personality disorder? So this is somebody who likes to be alone. They like to be isolated. Again, functionally, they'll be doing fine. If they go to school, if they go to work, they'll do that without a problem. But when they're home, they're home. They really don't want to talk to anybody else. And then what about schizotypal? So schizotypal personality disorder, this is the one with odd thoughts and magical thinking. And this is honestly the hardest one to distinguish because schizotypal personality disorder can have elements of paranoia and also have elements of perceptual distortions, but never to a psychotic level. So an example would be somebody who wears exceptionally bold colors because they believe it gives them protection from negative energy around them, but you know, when it comes down to their relationships, they're doing fine on that department. When it comes down to their work, they're doing all right. Their hygiene's fine. Literally nothing else points to a diagnosis of schizophrenia. They're just really thinking oddly, behaving a little oddly. But again, it's not to a serious level. And just like anything we've discussed in this episode, practice scenarios will make this a little bit easier to understand. And speaking of practice scenarios, we're going to jump right in. So let's start with question one. A 17-year-old girl is brought to her primary care physician by her mother due to uncharacteristic behavior for the past 4 months. She explains that her daughter hasn't been interested in volleyball as of late and has recently decided to skip school altogether. Physical examination reveals a female who appears her stated age with an unkempt appearance. When asked why she doesn't want to go to school, the patient states, quote, "school, learning, dangerous." What's the diagnosis here? So this would be schizophreniform disorder. And this is evidenced by the fact that she is no longer going to school, she has an unkempt appearance, and appreciate what she said. She said school, learning, dangerous. These aren't full sentences. This would be an example of alogia, you know, a difficulty producing words. Now let's take some time to compare these to the differentials that you could possibly see on the multiple choice exam. So why would it not be brief psychotic or schizophrenia? So brief psychotic disorder has a timeline that is characterized by symptoms that occur for less than a month, schizophrenia, greater 6 months or greater. Aside from the timeline, presentation is identical. Now, why isn't it major depressive disorder? So recall, in major depressive disorder, we would have the SIGI-CAP symptoms, and we do have one of them, the loss of interest in volleyball. Perhaps I could have made this question a little bit harder by adding some more symptoms, but we're going to need more symptoms for us to diagnose major depressive disorder. On top of the other impairments, such as alogia, schizophrenia would be a lot more likely. Now, what about delusional disorder or paranoid disorder? Why would it not be any of those? Right, the impairment. Again, the impairment is key. In delusional paranoid disorder, you would not see this level of impairment. In schizophrenia, on the other hand, totally different question. Now, what about schizotypal? So this is a little bit of a harder one. You might have thought that the school learning dangerous delusion is odd thinking or magical thinking, and you could make that argument. So whether it's an odd or magical delusion as opposed to a bizarre delusion, that can be a bit of a toss-up, and I understand that. This is why I'm really stressing the functional impairments more than anything else. So if she was schizotypal, she wouldn't have nearly the same levels of functional impairment. She would still be speaking in full sentences, but if she had any inkling that school or learning were dangerous things, she would probably be more likely to communicate that very clearly, and she would probably have some really odd ways of going about it, such as wearing 10 multicolored wristbands on her arm as a way of warding off negative energy. That's kind of an example of what it would look like if it was schizotypal. Question number two. A 35-year-old woman is visiting her primary care physician due to anxiety concerns for the past 7 months. After learning how little of a dose it takes to overdose someone on fentanyl, she's been hesitant to consume any food that isn't completely prepared by her, for fear of opioid contamination. She has a strong love for cooking and regularly maintains her cooking blog. She also mentions feeling itchy and irritable as of late, attributing it to possible microcontaminants of opioids in food she has consumed from work. She now takes homemade meals to work, but she continues to meet her deadlines and host cookouts with friends at her home. Physical exam is unremarkable, except for minor scratch marks on her back. So what would the diagnosis here be? So this would be an example of delusional disorder. Appreciate here that the level of functional impairment isn't anywhere near the level of functional impairment we saw in the previous question. So that previous question was a form of schizophrenia, specifically a schizophreniform disorder. In this one, she still has her cooking blog, she's still hanging out with her friends, she's still going to work, but she's more cautious about her food. But why isn't it paranoid personality disorder? So in paranoid disorder, we would see a generalized distrust. Now, this is a little bit different because when we're thinking about delusional disorder, they tend to focus on one specific thing. In this case, it would be fear of opioid contamination. But why isn't this schizophrenia? So the only thing that it has in common with schizophrenia is the fact that the timeline is correct. In this case, we're talking about 7 months of symptoms, and schizophrenia, as you know, is diagnosed with 6 months or more of symptoms. However, we're not seeing the positive or negative symptoms, and the lack of functioning is not there. And also appreciate that this delusion doesn't sound as bizarre as the last one. Food contamination is a very real issue and has been well documented. As far as opioids, I'm not too sure about that. But in other words, what I'm trying to say is this delusion is grounded in some kind of reality. That is to say that it's not as bizarre as the school learning one that we saw earlier. All right, hopefully we're starting to kind of put the pieces together. I'm going to move on to question number 3. A 48-year-old man is brought to the emergency department by his friend from a local bar with claims of being, quote-unquote, blessed by the Allfather. He continues to refer to himself as, quote-unquote, the chosen bloodhound in a loud and rabid voice repeatedly throughout the duration of the encounter. His friend says that the patient is sober and has not consumed any illicit substances. However, mentions that the patient has a history of psychiatric illnesses dating back 8 years ago, specifically bipolar disorder. His friend describes that the patient has had his quote-unquote highs and lows, and that he is currently experiencing one of his highs, as he has been awake for 5 days straight. Outside of these episodes, the friend mentions that the patient is generally in a stable mood, however, always had these lurking intrusive thoughts and voices about his desire to fulfill his destiny as the chosen bloodhound. What is the diagnosis here? That was a bit of a long question. A lot of quote-unquotes were said. I do apologize. The diagnosis here would be schizoaffective disorder. Now, let's break this down real quick by comparing it to mania. We saw the dig fast symptoms loud and clear here. But what's the difference between mania versus the schizoaffective disorder we're seeing here? So the key difference is in that last sentence. That last sentence explicitly mentioned that even during a stable mood, the patient still is having these delusions and auditory hallucinations. So let me reread that last sentence. It said, outside of these episodes, the friend mentions that the patient is generally in a stable mood, however, always had these lurking intrusive thoughts and voices about his desire to fulfill his destiny as the chosen bloodhound. This means that at a baseline, the schizophrenia symptoms are predominant, and that the mania is superimposed on top of it. Put it together, schizoaffective disorder. Now, why isn't this a drug-induced mania? After all, this patient did just come from a bar. So, a few things about this question. In this question, I did explicitly write that the patient is sober and has not consumed any illicit substances. In the case of UWorld and board exams at large, I've never seen them do a thing where a patient says or a patient's friend says that they're not consuming anything, and then you realize, oh, they are consuming something. Ha ha ha, gotcha. I usually don't see that, but if you do, I do apologize. In my question specifically, I explicitly mentioned that there are no illicit substances, and also appreciate that there have been schizophrenia symptoms outside of this manic episode. Now, I should mention, If there was no mention of the predominant schizophrenia symptoms, aka if the last sentence was just not there, then it would be a good idea to get a urine toxicology to rule out or rule in a possible drug use. Again, in this example, the friend mentions that there were illicit substance uses, but in the real world, we would be more careful as opposed to taking their word for it. Also appreciate that board examiners will usually ask most likely diagnosis or most appropriate next step in management. So keep in mind the game of probabilities here and how we are looking for patterns that most closely align with the differentials on the multiple choice. Now, this is a brief episode of psychosis, so why isn't it brief psychotic disorder? So the reason for that is the prolonged symptoms of predominant schizophrenia, as well as the past medical history of bipolar disorder. Recall the positive and negative symptoms of schizophrenia and then shorten the timeline to less than a month, and that's all there really is to brief psychotic disorder. Here we had what is clearly a chronic case going on. Also appreciate one more thing. I explicitly mentioned in this question how the patient experiences delusions and hallucinations outside the mania episodes. Now this might sound like an obvious giveaway on the surface, that last sentence, but I can assure you that board examiners will be very clear as to mention something similar in their questions. So in the case of board examiners, like they might say something like, between psychiatric hospitalizations, the patient experiences blah, 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 blah. That is the dead giveaway you're looking for. Okay, and we have one more question. Sorry, that last explanation was a really long one. Please, please, please re-listen to it if you need to. Last question. A 78-year-old man comes to his primary care physician with feelings of persistent loss of appetite and overwhelming guilt. He is convinced he has lung cancer as, quote-unquote, punishment for the sins I've committed in my 20s. He further explains that he has had several months of prolonged sleep, often laying in bed for 12 hours, however still feels fatigued throughout the day. Physical exam is remarkable for a restless man with an unkempt appearance. Although he denies suicidal ideation, he explains that he, quote-unquote, deserves to die anyway, so it doesn't matter. What's the diagnosis here? So this is what major depressive disorder with psychotic features looks like. And if you can appreciate from comparing it to the previous questions, it's actually pretty distinct from schizophrenia. The psychotic features, as mentioned earlier in this episode, are the feelings of worthlessness, the punishment, you know, deserving to die, these dark themes. Now, why isn't it a schizophrenia diagnosis, like a pure schizophrenia diagnosis? It's the presence of the Sigi cap symptoms. Yes, this patient has an unkempt appearance, and you might think, oh yeah, that's schizophrenia, but really look at the question. We had a patient with 12 hours of sleep, you know, so he's getting way more sleep than he should. That's the S in Sigi caps. He's feeling overwhelming guilt. That's the G. Nothing for the I. The E, he has lower energy despite all this increased sleep. So we have S, G, and E. Then we have nothing for concentration, but we do have something for A, the appetite. He has a persistent loss of appetite. And then, and this one was kind of subtle, but they've gotten me on this a lot, so I really want to make sure this point gets hammered in. We do have psychomotor agitation in this question. So in the question stem, I wrote that physical exam is remarkable for a restless man. So that's psychomotor agitation. The one that you're also very familiar with is psychomotor retardation, but the psychomotor agitation in the form of restlessness, that's the one that board examiners like to go for. So you have the S, the G, the E, the A, the P, and that is more than enough to make a diagnosis of major depressive disorder. Add this with the dark themes of wanting to die, the deserving of punishment, and you have major depressive disorder with psychotic features. All right, we are just about done. Now let's recap. Real quick, schizophrenia is a disorder of psychosis and divided into positive and negative symptoms. The positive symptoms that you're going to want to look out for are hallucinations, delusions, and disorganized speech or behavior. Try not to get it confused with dig fast. And then you have the negative symptoms, a volition, flat affect, alogia, and a disheveled appearance. Try not to mess this up with the Sigi caps. The timeline for these disorders are going to be important. For brief psychotic disorder, less than a month. schizophreniform, 1 to 6 months, and schizophrenia, 6 months or greater. Remember that schizophrenia is diagnosed in the absence of other causes. For example, drugs like illicit substances, even glucocorticoids, which actually cause steroid-induced psychosis. I know I didn't talk about that, but that is another fact to look out for. Neurological disorders, strokes, dementia, etc., etc. Those are honestly deserving of their own episode because of how detailed they are. But if those are the case, then you can't diagnose schizophrenia. Also, compared to things such as paranoid personality disorder, delusional disorder, etc., loss of functioning is a really important part. So look at the positive and negative symptoms, look at the loss of functioning, and you're most likely going to be on the road to a diagnosis of schizophrenia. And lastly, we talked about schizoaffective disorder. Remember what it is. At baseline, the patients have symptoms of schizophrenia, and they occasionally have acute exacerbation of their symptoms. Question stems will make it very clear when that's the case. And that is all for this episode. Thank you for tuning in to Spoonful of Sugar. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, visit our website at spoonfulofsugar.org and post them under the link for this episode. You can also contact us through our website if you are interested in making an episode on a topic that hasn't been covered yet. Good luck with studying, and remember that if you ever have an SOS moment while studying, Spoonful of Sugar is always here to help the medicine go down.